I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From Odyssey, I'm Lauren Berry, and this is the On Deadline podcast, where you get a deeper dive into stories from our radio newsrooms across the country. Today on Deadline is hitting the books as we look at the approaching deadline for college applications in a new world where students aren't just choosing where to go, they're deciding whether to go. After all, small business owners are overwhelmingly made up of skilled trades workers. For those on the college track, deadlines are approaching for high school seniors, with early applications due this month or in November for next fall. Decisions are typically released in December, and then regular applications are generally due by January. So it's time for students to get those essays finalized and beg for recommendations from their teachers, unless they're choosing another path. And lately, many of them are. With good reason. The blue-collar job trend has been increasing steadily throughout this year, with construction and manufacturing jobs drawing applicants and young adults like never before. Part of this growth comes due to the availability in blue-collar industries, with high pay and less strict schooling requirements as well. According to the online career advice site Resume Coach, nearly 1.7 million blue-collar positions will be created across seven sectors over the next 10 years. On top of that, 35% of the economy's top-growing jobs are blue-collar roles, and that's according to data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. The Wall Street Journal covered this year's blue-collar trend this summer. It reported that vocational-focused community colleges saw an enrollment increase of 16% last year, while the number of students studying a construction trade jumped 23%, and those in programs covering HVAC and vehicle maintenance repair rose 7%. To share more on why Gen Z is shaking things up, education and training expert Mike Thompson joined Odyssey.
Many of these Zoomers are leaning towards trade schools and blue-collar jobs instead of traditional college paths. What do you see as the biggest factor behind that?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a pretty smart decision when you can not carry quite the debt in a four-year degree program and get that skill quickly and move into a well-paying job. And what we're seeing is a lot of those well-paying jobs are even, you know, turning out six-figure incomes compared to, you know, the college, the typical four-year degree college pursuit is certainly questionable right now. And I think the value proposition there is a little bit messy. So I think people have wised up and they're seeking the opportunity and they're jumping all in.
Is it too late for me to go back and turn in my communications degree and become a carpenter instead?
You know, a lot of people seem to be doing that. It wasn't, it's not that uncommon for people in their 40s and even 50s to consider a career shift for maybe greener pastures, and the vocational schools and the trade schools are allowing them to do that.
Well, I'll at least finish the show today and then think about it. Mike, the price of tuition and the way that we are expected to pay for it, to me, seems to be completely untethered to reality. How much of a role do you really think these financial considerations are playing for these Zoomers who are saying no to 4 years of college if it means all this debt?
I think it's huge. I think that they are, you know, it's not even real. You use the term realistic. I love it. It's not even realistic, really, to kind of carry that much debt. I'm not even sure it's a very smart decision. As I've said in the past, college is really, really good for the right person, the right career pursuit. But it's also okay not to go to college.
Yeah.
And when you see the extraordinary tuition costs, gosh, that's a tough value proposition for these four-year institutions to put forward and for people to embrace that kind of model.
Okay, let's talk about the essential workers. The demand for essential workers has only increased since the pandemic. How did COVID-19 change the way that Americans think about vocational training and essential work?
Yeah, I just think, didn't it open up a huge opportunity? I mean, there was just, and I love the term essential workers. These are a lot of those blue-collar opportunities that, you know, that people jump into. And so when the layoffs happened or the office buildings closed or things like that, people jumped in cars and started picking up deliveries and things like that. And they found out that, man, I can make some good money on this kind of stuff. So I think it just exposed a lot of untapped opportunity, and there's certainly been a talent gap in those jobs, and so they were available and people jumped in.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
While blue-collar jobs are seeing an increase in attention, the majority of high school students are still getting ready to head to four-year universities. In the midst of meeting new friends, living on your own for the first time, and eating way too many ramen noodles, many people on campuses across the U.S. are struggling to decide what they actually want to do with their degree when they're done. To give some advice to those who remain undecided, Bankrate analyst Alex Gailey joined Odyssey.
What are some of the most important factors to consider when you're choosing that college major, whether that be salary potential, personal interest, or even job security down the road?
Getting a four-year degree, it's a significant investment. College costs are high, and choosing a major is tricky, especially when you're 18 years old and you have to make a big decision like that. So it is important to strike a balance between your interests, your strengths or your competitive advantages, as well as earnings potential and job opportunities. Being proactive is really key here to entering and succeeding in a field that you choose. But again, you want to try to balance all these things out. You don't want to go into a field just because it pays really well if you have really no interest in it or if it's not a subject that you're really good at.
So when we're talking about kind of return on investment in terms of majors, where do you go for ones that maybe can prove to be the best when it comes to return on investment?
Well, when it comes to salary and job security, STEM majors are the majors that are more likely to lead to that. We actually did a ranking of 152 majors based on median salaries, unemployment rates, and the percent of workers that went on to get an advanced degree. And we found that STEM majors dominated the top 15 in our ranking. To zoom in a little further, engineering majors actually claimed 8 of the top 10 spots on our ranking. And these are majors that have salaries of at least $90,000 per year, and they have pretty low unemployment rates, lower than, you know, let's say 2.5%, which is pretty good. But generally, these are workers who are more likely to report higher salaries, lower unemployment rates. On the flip side of that, when we were looking at this ranking, the arts and humanities were considered the least valuable majors in terms of kind of the returns you get. So median salary, they have higher unemployment rates, and sometimes have a high percentage of workers who do have to get an advanced degree to secure a job.
Yeah, we talked earlier about kind of the, you know, all the factors of whether that's salary, something you're interested in, whether it's something that's sustainable moving forward. And it is a tough decision at a young age. A lot of students or, you know, prospective college students right now maybe are not really sure. What's kind of the advice from the financial side of teens who really don't know which field they want to head into?
Well, cost of college is a huge part of the equation. And so you have to think about where you want to attend college and how much that's ultimately going to cost you. There are tons of options out there from, you know, very high cost private institutions to more affordable public institutions. There's community college. So in addition to trying to take advantage of scholarships and grants and trying to bring those costs down, you have to think about how much you're paying for that degree. And then once you understand the cost, that's when you have to make that decision. And really, I think using the process of elimination is an effective way to figure out what you want to major in. So if you're struggling, maybe rule out what you don't want to major in first, and that can maybe help narrow down your decision. And then just doing as much research as possible early on and getting connected with academic advisors, with faculty member, going through the course catalogs and really understanding what it is that you enjoy doing and that you are naturally good at that can ultimately also meet the other requirements you may have, such as getting a job and having a well-paying salary.
Whether their collars end up being blue or white, or of the t-shirt variety, Gen Z continues to change up the professional world. And some experts are worried their lack of decorum may find them jobless. Assistant professor of economics at Tulane University, Patrick Button, joined Odyssey to discuss how Gen Z is struggling to gain a foothold in workplace culture, with managers lamenting how many of them have had to be fired for a lack of professionalism.
Recent survey of hiring managers finds an increased number of Gen Z employees in their 20s lack professional skills and communication abilities. And they say 6 in 10 say they've had to fire Gen Z employees within the first 3 months of employment because of this. Professor Button, what do you think of any or all of those text messages?
Well, I mean, those are all pretty valid, right? I mean, there are a lot of these struggles that are really affecting businesses. It's really hard for businesses nowadays to find workers that, match their skills and are affordable and will stick around. So there definitely are difficulties in the labor market. So I absolutely agree with all of these things. This is something that's difficult.
So what do we do about it other than, like you said earlier, try to mentor and bring them along, which one person texted and called coddling? How do we address these issues? Is it something that needs to start in the home, that needs to start in elementary school, or is it something that can be solved during job training or college or other education?
Well, since, I think these are deep-rooted problems, especially with the nature of social media, I think we need the sort of multifaceted approach. Absolutely, families could, better communicate with their kids about, social media use and sort of regulate that a little bit more, give them some buy-in around how often they use social media, but kind of put some boundaries around that. And definitely high schools, universities and whatnot need to try to focus more on sort of practical skills that I think would translate really into business productivity, right? So there's definitely things that we could do on all sides. I think, we could also discuss policies around social media. We've seen how bad social media has affected youth in terms of communication skills or a sense of body image or mental health. And that's really sort of an epidemic. I know the Surgeon General has been talking about that significantly. So that involves some, some policy discussions there as well. So I think we have to kind of take a multi-pronged approach because this is something that is really affecting that generation and they have a lot to contribute. They have some really great values, but, they have faced a lot of difficulties and we have to see if we can try to help them going forward and then make some adjustments ourselves at the business.
Yeah, because some would argue that it is the job of a college or university to prepare a student for the workforce, right? That not only give them a degree in whatever their field of study is, but also make sure that they can successfully make it through an interview with a potential employer and that if and when hired, that they can exude the professionalism that is necessary in their field and have the communication skills to be effective, right?
Yeah, absolutely. This is something I've been working on at Tulane is trying to get courses that are really focused on search skills. I run a data science institute, so we're focused on, teaching students how to better communicate with data. And, those are skills that employers really like. So I'm very on board with that. I think we could definitely have a lot of courses on, communication in broader context, business with data, things like that I think would be really important. So absolutely.
Let's check out some numbers. The average American with a four-year college degree has a little bit under $30,000 in student debt, according to data from the College Board for the 2021-2022 school year. So here's a question. Is it worth it? Let's look at trade school numbers, too. In the U.S., the average salary for a trade school graduate is around $60,000. Of course, that depends on the industry and the experience level of the worker. For example, in Michigan, home of the auto industry, the average salary for a skilled trades worker is more than $95,000 per year. Trade school usually takes about 2 years to finish and costs around $20,000. For comparison, the average four-year college degree costs about $78,000 at public institutions and around $166,000 at private universities, according to MoneyGeek. And, now this is very broadly, the median wage for someone with a bachelor's degree is just over $62,000 per year. Of course, it's not just a question of dollars and cents, because the college experience is priceless, many would argue. And even if it takes some time to pay off, the eventual earning potential of a four-year degree does outpace most blue-collar jobs. And those are just the tangibles. the intangibles, like whether a student has interest or aptitude in arts and sciences or in a more hands-on field, well, that's really what matters when deciding on a course of action or on what to get as a degree. Whether it's blue-collar fields like plumbing, welding, carpentry, and HVAC, or white-collar roles like teaching or business or lawyering, you're going to get your hands dirty either way. So our best advice is to tell students to pursue what comes most naturally to them or what they really find interesting. This show is produced by Joe Heedy, Christy Strouser, and by me. I'm Lauren Berry, and I want to say thanks for listening to On Deadline, Odyssey's serving of a top news story just for you. Subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts to stay informed.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.